Military commanders are still waiting for detailed guidance on what the new federal hiring freeze will mean, installation by installation. But they're already concerned about possible effects on military readiness, especially if restrictions on civilian hiring last longer than 90 days. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has more.
DOD got some relief from the hiring freeze last week when Deputy Defense Secretary Robert Work published a list of 16 broad categories in which the military secretaries and defense agency heads could resume hiring under an exemption in the president's executive order for positions that are critical to national security. But the list of exceptions was by no means a complete lifting of the freeze. For instance, it leaves the hiring ban completely intact for DOD's acquisition workforce. That's a concern for General Glenn Walters, the Assistant Commandant of the Marine Corps.
We're doing a lot of planning to increase readiness and grow the force. And do these things. I'm short contracting officers, 50%. If I can't hire contracting officers, we can put any plan we want in place, and we can put the money into place, but if I can't execute it, it's not going to come to fruition. So that's one of our challenges. Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, commanders are still waiting for more detailed guidance on how to implement the freeze exceptions at the level of individual military bases and other facilities. For instance, while last week's guidance included exceptions for shipyard and depot maintenance workers, it also made clear that the deputy secretary wants the exceptions to be used sparingly, and the military service secretaries will be held accountable for justifying that any positions they exempt from the freeze are truly critical to national security or public safety. Because of that, Vice Admiral Bill Moran, the Vice Chief of Naval Operations, says it's not yet entirely clear whether exceptions can be granted by lower-level officials at the installation level.
We have some pretty good assurances that the hiring freeze the temporary hiring freeze is put into place. We will be able to get exemptions for our depots and our yards. We are still working through the mechanics of that, though. Does the Secretary of the Navy, who has been delegated authority to allow for these exemptions, have to sign each person's exemption, or can we do these in groups based on a lower echelon input? So we're working through those details, but I think you'll be pleased to know that we're going to get through this in a very near term. But to your point, if it were to endure, we're back to sequestration, furlough levels of 13, which was devastating to our force, so we don't want to go there.
And a widespread slowdown in federal hiring is likely to persist even after the expiration of the government-wide hiring freeze. President Trump's January 23rd executive order allows the freeze to be lifted after 90 days, but only after the Office of Personnel Management and the Office of Management and Budget develop and then implement a more detailed long-term plan to reduce the federal workforce through attrition. General Stephen Wilson, the Vice Chief of Staff of the Air Force, says whatever's entailed in that long-term attrition strategy, officials are concerned about protecting key segments of the federal workforce that they view as critical to DOD's new effort to rebuild military readiness.
Mentioned shipyards, depots are the same way. So we need to be able to, today, 96% of our civilian workforce works outside of Washington, D.C. They work in places like our depots or on our flight lines. And if we can't hire, then that has a direct impact to readiness. So we're confident that we can got the procedures in place to move through this, but we can't have it slow down the hiring.
However, the new exemptions did solve some of the military's most serious concerns about the hiring freeze. In the case of the Army, the freeze was preventing officials from renewing the appointments of term employees who were hired 1 year at a time, potentially threatening thousands of people with what amounted to layoffs. General Daniel Allen, the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, says that immediate problem has been averted.
For the Army, we've begun to triage our depots based on those temp and term hires that were about to expire. We've worked through February. We're just about through March. And we find that the waiver is meeting the need that we have for our commanders. And we have a direct link between our commanders and the secretary to ensure that bureaucracy does not get in the way of taking care of our people.
The vice chiefs also expressed concerns over the readiness impacts of Congress's failure to pass a budget for 2017, the fiscal year that began last October. As things stand, lawmakers have already deferred the decision until the end of April. Until then, the government is funded by a continuing resolution that locks government appropriations accounts at 2016 levels and prevents the military from starting any new acquisition programs. Leaving the CR in place for the remaining 5 months of the year would cause real problems, Allen says.
Our FY17 NDAA authorized an increase in our operations maintenance account of over $4 billion. None of that will be executable under a continuing resolution. That will have severe implications to not only planned operations here in the homeland, but OCO missions as well, contingency operations overseas. And so that will be a significant problem. We also have 50 new starts that are part of our president's budget for 17. None of those will get started. And to the point that Senator Ernst made about ammunition, we also have a severe backlog in our war reserves, which we were trying to get after by increasing production at our plants and facilitizing those plants. None of that will be possible under a year-long continuing resolution. That's just the top couple for the United States Army.
The Navy's Moran says the CR is already beginning to create readiness concerns because it provides about $5 billion less than the Navy planned for in its 2017 budget proposal, including $2 billion less for shipyard maintenance. If a full budget is delayed any longer, he estimates the service will have to defer 14 ship maintenance availabilities.
That would add to the current bow wave or backlog that we have, which is rather enormous. We will begin to shut down two air wings completely. And that means no flying for two air wings. And we'd go to what we refer to as tactical hard deck for two additional air wings, which is 11 hours a month per pilot, just to keep them safe. And then we would definitely impact the other flight hour accounts, which do pilot production. So where we train pilots to become pilots. So I'm about to go over to the Naval Academy tonight to welcome the newest selectees for Naval Aviation. I'd hate to tell them that they're not going to be able to train to be pilots for a while. But that's what we're being faced with if we go to a year-long CR. Without trading Omen accounts around where something else has to give.
Likewise, the Marines would have to stop training flights for most of their non-deployed units in the July timeframe. Wilson says the Air Force would face a shortfall of about $1.6 billion in readiness funds, and the CR would also halt about 60 New START acquisition programs.
The only place we can go for money is our readiness accounts. So it'd be flying hours, WSS, or facilities, FSRM accounts. So much like the rest of the service, we'd stop flying in the summer, we'd backlog the depots, we'd have to further delay any modernization of our infrastructure on our bases. So the thing we're trying to stop or to dig our way out of readiness would impact the most.
Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.